Then again, the Almighty God limits himself to the River Jordan. My mind is getting, even before we reach the River Jordan, the Almighty God, somewhere there in the book of Numbers, the Almighty God limit himself. Let's use Jordan and Naaman. God limited himself to the River Jordan. There were many rivers. Not just that there were rivers far, far on Abana in Syria. There were other rivers other than Jordan in Israel. There were other pools. But God limited himself to Jordan. But Naaman, if he wanted to be cleansed of his sin, of all the waters in Syria and Israel, the only one through which Naaman would be cleansed is the River Jordan. Naaman could go and wash millions of times in other waters, be it in Israel or in Syria. There was no way the Almighty God was going to heal him if he abandoned Jordan. That is how God limits himself. We had also mentioned the Ark of Noah, and that is symbolic of the church. Could people then build boats? Yes. Would those boats or ships survive the flood? No. No, the only one that would survive the flood is the one. No, I'm not a broken record. The one built by God's command. That's the only boat that would survive the flood. So last week, when we ended that and time came for us to dismiss, I pointed out that it is in the same way that this side of the cross of Jesus Christ, the Almighty God has limited himself to the church. In fact, let me capitalize that. To the church. As the place, the institution, the sphere of all spiritual blessings. So we pick up on the passage of Ephesians chapter 1, and from there we will travel. And verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father.
Blessed be the God and Father
of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Who hath blessed us.
Who has blessed us.
With all spiritual blessings.
Okay, may I? There are so many little things that we pop. Notice the us. That's crazy. This us does not refer to all men. Amen. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing
in heavenly places.
Wait. Notice, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, he blessed us where?
In heavenly places, in Christ.
He blessed us in heavenly places, and he blessed us in Jesus Christ. Amen. All spiritual blessing of whatever sort, if it is spiritual, the only way you can get it, you must be in Christ or be in the heavenly. In fact, let me just drop here. The word heavenly places, the word places is not in the original translation. What you have in the original original Greek rather, is he has blessed us in the heavenly. In a few minutes, we'll tell more what that means. But the translators were not so much off when they drop in places. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this awesome expression, this instructive expression of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, it occurs some 5 times in the book of Ephesians alone. The expression in heavenly places are in the heavenly. It is found in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 that we have read. And in the same chapter 1, it is also found in verse 20. So that's 2 places. It is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. It is found in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. And it is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. That's some 5 or 6 places in the one book that the expression heavenly places or the heavenly is found. This expression was used to inform the church of Christ at Ephesus, to inform God's people thereafter, and to inform the very world. That is all humanity in general, that there is no spiritual blessing of any kind whatever and wherever other than to be found in Jesus Christ or in the church of Christ. None. There is no spiritual. If the blessing is of spiritual nature, if it has to do with our relationship with God, spiritual, if it has to do with going to heaven, if it has to do with us praising, worshiping God, anything, if it has to do with us talking to God in prayer, worship, fellowship, once it is a spiritual nature, you are going to have access to it, get it, be a part of it, only if you are in the church that Jesus Christ built. But Brother Mitchell, it says not only the church, it says in Christ also. Well, may I fix that? The very time you get in Jesus Christ is the very time you get in the church. The very same way you get in Christ is the very same way you get in the church. That's right. I was going to repeat that two or three or four times, but it's important that we get that. The very same time and the very Christ, you also get into the church, which is his body. May I? Let us now remove all doubts in respect to the meaning of the impression, the expression, heavenly places or the heavenly. Let us make sure that you do not leave here thinking, well, that can have many other meaning other than the church. No, it has no other meaning. In the first place, the expression the heavenly or heavenly places mean that which is heavenly as against or contrast with that which is earthly. The terms refer to that which is heavenly in contrast to or in contradiction to that which is earthly. There are a lot of things you and I have to associate with, do, enjoy, that are earthly. When this earth is no more, they will no more be relevant. But there are things that are heavenly. That is, when this earth be no more, they will still be a part of us. Worshiping God will be a part of us. Praising God will be a part of us. Loving one another will be a part of us. And I can go on and on. Now, Brother Mitchell, you said you were going to fix it to help us understand fully and completely that the term heavenly or heavenly places refers to the church. We are going to look at, there are three passages I would like to help us today. One is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. The other one is Colossians chapter 2 and verse, well, really we want only verse 12 and 13. I was going to take it from verse 11. I'm not sure yet. But let me put 12 through 13. And the other passage is Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Brother Mitchell, why are we going there? To get a better understanding in respect to the term, the heavenly, our heavenly places. How do we know it referred to the church? Let us hear the passage again of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3.
Blessed be the God.
Blessed be the God.
And Father
and
of,
Father of our Lord
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Who hath blessed us.
The same Father of Jesus Christ. That is the same God who blessed us, the Christian. Notice where he blessed us.
With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
What he blessed us with first. With all, not just some. This is important. And that's why the Bible says that God has given us all things that we need for life and godliness. All that you and I need to serve God, God made sure it is supplied. Therefore, when you arrive backslide, grow unfaithful, give up Christianity, don't ever blame God. Because God makes sure that he supplies us with all that we need to serve him. The Bible has even gone as far as telling us that God never permits us to be tempted. Help me here. Above that which we are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. Everything we need, all spiritual blessings to serve God, God in Jesus Christ supplied. And it is supplied in the church with all spiritual blessing
in heavenly places in Christ.
Okay, so this is referring to the church, brothers and sisters. Now, note now chapter 2, verse 6.
And hath raised us up together.
And hath raised us up together. In a few minutes or second, that raised us up together going to come in handy. Because there are some denominational commentators who wrote commentary. And they think that is referring to the ultimate resurrection. No. It's not talking about the final resurrection. The brother is at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. Start again. And
hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places.
Notice together. You know that this usually joins two things. And you see the together there is referring to us and Christ. Huh? That's right. That's the together there. You see, that's solidarity. And that's raised us up. Read it again, brother.
And has raised us up together. And made us sit together.
Does somebody have another version or translation? Let me hear it, brother.
And God raised us up with Christ.
You see, brother, you see, because, you know, a lot of time when I'm studying, putting my lessons together, I have to have 3, 4, 5 different translations of the very same verse. That's right, to make sure that I'm getting it right. Now, read again, Brother Wade.
And God raised us up with Christ.
Now, this doesn't leave any doubt. Read, Brother McFarlane.
And hath raised us up together. And made us.
You see, it left the who out. It's not that the King James is wrong, because the context will show you that it's talking about Christ. Raise us up. But the NIV, the American Standard Version, and other version make sure that they drop in there what's supposed to be there. And that's raised us up, Brother Webb.
And has raised us up with Christ.
With Christ. Notice you have not only together, you have with the preposition with. Huh? With. There again, it's telling you that there is a oneness. There is a solidarity between the man and woman becoming a child of God and Jesus Christ, and has raised us up together. Read.
And has raised us up with Christ. and seated us with him in heavenly realms.
Wait, seated us with Christ in the heavenly realm. What a honor. Huh? I'm just thinking of some places. Sometimes we wish we get the opportunity to sit there, sit at the governor's palace right beside the governor, sit at the king or queen's palace right beside the king or queen, or sit at the president, no, not the president. Sit at the prime minister's with the, you sit beside them, but none come close to this one. The glory and the honor sitting with Jesus Christ in the heavenly. Watch here now. But Brother Mitchell, you have not yet shown us. Well, I'm coming to it. The brothers just read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. Now turn to this one, Colossians chapter. Well, first, brother, let me save the best for the last. Turn to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
We are buried. You notice, brothers and sisters, it's important. Notice the we. The grammarian calls it a preposition, it joins two things. We are what with what, brother?
We are buried with him.
You know what that is talk about? Baptism. Are we all there?
Amen.
We are buried with Christ. That's how important baptism is. It unites the prospective convert becoming a Christian with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' redeeming act, what are those redeeming acts? Jesus Christ died, buried, and was resurrected for our sin. Read on. You are at Romans chapter 6, brother. Verse 4.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
We are buried with Christ.
By baptism.
We remind the prospective convert you are teaching how important baptism is. There is a togetherness with Jesus Christ when the prospective convert enters baptism. There is a oneness with Christ when the prospective convert is buried in the water. Read on.
By baptism. Into death. That like as Christ was raised up.
Wait. Like as. Raise up. Raise up. you remember, that's what we are talking about from 1 verse 3, and especially here. When the heavenly place was mentioned, it talked about we are raised up with Christ to sit in heavenly place. So watch here now. If you and I can find out when were we raised up, are we all there? If we can find out on what occasion were we raised up with Jesus Christ, because the very same time and place we were raised up, that's the very same time and place that we began to sit with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. So here the brother is reading in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 4.
That like as Christ was raised up.
Wait. Sorry to interrupt you so often, but I may have to interrupt you again. The word like as mean in the same way Jesus Christ was raised up. Brother Mitchell, what is that referring to? Christ's resurrection.
From the dead.
From the dead.
By the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life.
You get the drift here? In the same way Jesus Christ was raised up by the glory of the Father, the phrase even so mean, even so we were raised up, but we were raised up to live the new life.
Amen.
Even so we were raised up. And then you're at verse 5 there now, no?
Yes, the end of verse 4.
Read verse 5, let me hear. For?
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death.
Take time with me, no, brother, take time. What is that referring to, Brother Mitchell? The likeness of Jesus' death is referring to when Jesus Christ died and was buried. When this prospective convert is buried under the water, there is a likeness there of Jesus' death. We shall also be in the likeness of what, brother?
Of his resurrection.
What is that? When you and I come forth from the water, grave of baptism, it is a likeness of his resurrection. But now, you have written this off. You have written this off. Now, let us see that now. Colossians. We really want verse 12. So I would let you read from verse 11, but let us hear verse 12 and 13.
Buried with him in baptism.
Buried with him. Wait, take time with me, brother. Buried. Notice again the preposition with. Eh? With. It is always joining the man or woman becoming a child of God with Jesus Christ. With. You, there is a solidarity between the person who has become a Christian, taking the step of salvation. There is a solidarity between that man or woman and Jesus Christ. Buried with him.
Wherein also he arisen with him.
Wait. You see when we were raised with him, brother? Huh? Huh? Wherein? Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? That simply means from where? Huh? What happened from where, brother?
Also, ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation.
Read the entire verse 12 again.
Buried with him.
We are buried with him. That is talk about baptism. That is in the same way when Jesus Christ died, he was buried. When you become dead to sin through repentance, in becoming a Christian, you must be buried under the water.
Amen.
Not sprinkled, not conferred, not poor. You must be buried. Buried with him. With him whom? Christ.
Amen.
Read.
Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen.
You are risen from baptism. Thus, the business of raise up together with him to sit in heavenly
places.
The Bible is here teaching us when you put Colossians together with Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And Romans, it is showing you that the raise with him took place when you raise from the watery grave of baptism. And when you raise from the watery grave of baptism, it is then that you sit where?
In heavenly places.
Where are you seated? In heavenly places. That is telling us, brothers and sisters, from the very moment you are baptized, you are placed in an heavenly environment. Heavenly place. In fact, may I? This is why. Notice Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, and verse 47. Let us hear it.
Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Once you get on the road of salvation through faith, repentance, and baptism, you have to be in the church. God adds you to the church. That's the heavenly place. In other words, you become a Christian because your focus is on the hereafter. You become a Christian because your focus is on living everlasting life, free from sin, free from trouble, free from sickness, free from tears, free from frustration, and that your joy will never be interrupted. Heavenly places, the very time we are raised up from the watery grave of baptism, God himself places us, adds us to the church. That's when it happens. Notice. There is a threefold solidarity with Christ. One that is according. Just start a little of verse 13.
And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, are they quickened together with him?
Here again is the together. you know, and that's word like with and together are words that we overlook sometimes so easily when we are studying the Bible. But in these cases, they are very important that we observe them. Notice the solidarity. Are you all noticing? One, there is a with or togetherness with Christ in Jesus' burial. Am I right? I know I'm right. That is according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5. But not only that, there is a with or together with Christ in our quickening, that is making us alive. The brother is right there in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Read that again quick, brother.
And you, being dead in your sins.
When we are in sin, if you are here today and you are not a Christian, you have not given your life over to Christ according to the plan of the gospel, you are dead in sin. That means you are not alive to righteousness.
Amen.
And you need to be alive to righteousness.
Amen.
And the only way you can be alive to righteousness is to turn your life over to Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, and Jesus Christ will make you alive. So in the passage there, verse again 13.
And you, being dead in your sins.
You see, brother, he's telling them of their former condition and state.
Amen.
Before they became Christian. You, having been dead in your sin.
And the uncircumcision.
And the uncircumcision of your heart. Wait. But he just dropped that there in brother. No, he didn't drop that. He talked about that in verse 11. That's why I didn't even want to go there. Because that's another sermon. Brother Webb and myself dealing a lot with that on our radio program. So I didn't worry, go to verse 11. Yes. You that were dead in your trespasses and sin. When we are out of Jesus Christ, we are dead in sin. We need to be made alive to righteousness. That can come only through faith, repentance, and baptism. What happened? Dead in trespasses and sin, brother.
He quickened.
What does that mean, Brother Mitchell, quicken? Does that mean he run fast? No. It means to make alive. So that's the second thing that create the solidarity between the new child of God and Jesus Christ. And you notice the word with. RT does what, brother?
Quicken together with him.
Notice, quicken together with. Huh? Quicken, make alive. What is the point? In the same way, Jesus' resurrection represents a making alive or a coming alive. Huh? When you come out of the water, you come out of the water because you are now alive to righteousness. You are now alive to the will of God. You are now alive to the purpose of God. You are now alive to the captainship of Jesus Christ, to the leadership of Jesus Christ when you come up out of the water. So that's the one, we are buried with him. Solidarity. Two, we are made alive with him. And three, we are seated in heavenly places with him. You notice all three of these were like together with likeness place there, joining the new child of God with Jesus Christ. In all of them, that is, in baptism, which is the burial, there is the with, the likeness together. The quickening that is made alive to righteousness. There is the with togetherness. And the seated in the heavenly. In all three of them. That's why I said there is a threefold solidarity or oneness. Raised with him, quick with him, buried with him. In wrapping up. Yes. In wrapping up the lesson. Paul, in this expression, was trying to imprint not only on the mind of first century Christian, but on the mind of God's people throughout. He was trying to imprint on our mind the idea that the totality, yes, I said, totality of all blessing of a spiritual nature are to be found exclusively in Jesus Christ and the church. Exclusively in Jesus Christ and the church. All blessing that are of a spiritual nature, they are to be found nowhere else except in Jesus Christ and the church. Brother, I'm closing. But quickly, run to Ephesians 3, 20, 21. Hebrews 2, 11. Hebrews 12, 28. Quick now. No, hold up the sermon, please.
And are built up the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
You are at Ephesians chapter 3. Give me that one first. Ephesians 3, 20, 21.
Now unto him
mm-hmm.
that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think.
Listen. Uh-huh.
According to the power that worketh in us.
Mm-hmm.
Unto him be glory in the church.
Where?
In the church.
Brother, you notice what I notice? Notice this. He didn't say be glory in and just lead it. Be glory to God. Now, he tells you, in effect, if you are going to glorify God, there is a place, there is a relationship in which it must be done. Read it again, no brother.
Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think.
Christian, you hear that? You see, I didn't want to comment on that, but you may just pass that. Whatever our aspiration, our desires, if they are in keeping with God's will, you can never ask for more than God can give. You didn't. Notice the adverb or adjective used there. No, notice. Somebody didn't hear you, Brother McFarlane.
Now unto him
uh-huh.
that is able to do exceedingly.
Exceedingly.
Abundantly.
Abundantly.
Above all.
Above all.
That we ask or think.
You talk about verbose. That's Paul. But that is telling of us how inexhaustible is God's resource.
Amen.
Read.
According to the power that worketh in us.
Mm-hmm.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Be glory in the church.
Where?
In the church.
You cannot glorify God acceptably outside the church.
Amen.
God fix it. You talk about limiting himself to? God fix it that if humanity going to give him glory, it must be done in the church.
Amen.
There you have it. That was verse 20 or 21.
Verse 21.
Okay. Could we then move on to Hebrews 2, 11 through 12? Quick. For both he that sanctify
and they who are sanctified
are one.
Are all of one.
Are you all there? Jesus Christ, who is the sanctifier, and we, the Christian who have been sanctified, there is a oneness between us and Christ. You know, a passage like that need discussions. Because there's so much being said there. We frail, ignorant, finite sinners can be one with Christ. Read on, brother.
For which cause? He is not ashamed to call them brethren.
Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren. Wait. He should be ashamed, you know. And that's why the inspired writer have to point out, one, you just live in the light. And Christ will own you as his brothers and sisters. You see, just live according to the gospel. Live lives pleasing to God. And we are brothers and sisters of Christ. But he not finish with it.
Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church.
Wait, brother, what you add to God's word for? Yeah, brother, bringing the church If you want to praise God's name, you can praise it other places other than the church. Let me hear, make sure you read it correctly this time, brother.
Say, I will declare thy name.
Watch here now. This is taking my memory sermon from Psalms. And that when David, however, the Old Testament character who said that they were prophesying about Christ and the church, saying,
I will declare thy name.
I will declare thy name
unto my brethren.
Unto my brethren. Who are my brethren? It has already dealt with the brethrenship. It has already dealt with that when it says we and Christ are one. It dealt with that in the verse above. And now it is telling you, I will declare thy name to my brethren. That is, Jesus Christ will be telling us about the will of God. And you know where he's telling it, brother?
In the midst of the church.
Where?
The church.
Where?
The church.
The church.
Will I sing praise unto thee?
If you are going to praise God, it has to be done in the church. See, you have it from God, inspiration. The writer of Hebrew is quoting from the inspired writer of the Old Testament, saying, in the church will I praise your name. You see how many things are limited to the church? And one more passage, I think, and then I may take one more for our brother. 12:28. Hebrews, same Hebrews.
Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence.
You notice here, to serve God acceptably, you must have grace.
Amen.
That is, you must be a beneficiary of the grace of God in submitting yourself to God's will. And last but not least, the one that you had started first, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5.
Ye also.
We. Brother, that we refers to the Christian.
As lively stones.
We also, we are stone. We make up a building. But this is not an inanimate dead building.
Amen.
And we are not like the dead, bloodless stone out there. We are stone that are alive. Because the building that we make up is not an organization. It is an organism.
Amen.
It is living. We also as what type of stone?
Lively stone.
Which means living stone. Read.
Are built up a spiritual house.
We build up a house.
And holy priesthood.
Not a physical structure. But a spiritual house.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
And holy priesthood.
It is. Form a priesthood that is holy, set apart for God's purpose.
Amen.
To offer up spiritual. Well,
you see, brother, you get the drift? If you are going to offer spiritual sacrifices, are we all there? Are we all there? The brother is about to turn. To make sure of his invitation song. But you must get this. If we are going to be in the position to offer spiritual sacrifices, you must become a part of the spiritual house.
Amen.
Because this spiritual house was designed by God, formed by God, for that very purpose. To offer up spiritual sacrifice. Listen to the passage. Read it through, brother, and I'm going to try and resist not interrupting you.
He also,
as
lively stones, are built up a spiritual house
and
holy priesthood.
Holy priesthood.
To offer up spiritual sacrifices.
Our purpose is to offer up sacrifices that are spiritual.
acceptable to God.
The sacrifice will be acceptable to God.
By Jesus Christ.
We do it by Christ, but you have to be a part of the spiritual house. Amen. You have to be one of the lively living stone that built up this house. You get it? Outside of the church of Christ, no man can offer up acceptable spiritual sacrifice. Today you can become a part of the church that Christ built. I don't have to go over the plan of salvation. We have gone through buried with him, that is baptism. Raised with him, that is from baptism. Quickened with him, that is in baptism. All of these are in reference to you becoming a child of God. Today, if you are here, you are not a child of God. You can become one. You have heard God's truth. You are here today because you believe Jesus Christ died for you. And because he died for you, if you turn, the management and the supervision of your life over to Christ through faith in him, repentance from sin, confessing of his name, and getting baptized so that through blood your sins can be removed, you can start a life with Jesus Christ this morning today. We are going to stand and sing a song. The song will be sung to the praise of the Almighty God. But we also think it is an appropriate time for you to step forward responding to Jesus' invitation. If you're a child of God who have grown weak, backslide, you know the best time to recommit your life is when you look in your life and discover that you are drifting. Many Christians discover that they are drifting when it becomes too late. When it becomes too late. Many Christians discover that. If you are a child of God and you discover you are drifting, the best time to make recommitment to ask God's help for strength and guidance is when you recognize it. Don't wait until it's too late when Satan takes you over the brink. Come now, as we stand.